Hello and welcome to the Thursday, December 29th edition of Juno Afternoon, coming at you live from KTOO's downtown studio in Alaska's capital city. Stay tuned, we're going to chat about the Juno Nordic Ski Club, and then we'll talk about what's going on with Arts Up with Nancy DeCherney. All that and more. Stay tuned.
This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. Navajo Nation President Russell Begay is among tribal leaders applauding the designation of Bear's Ears as a national monument. President Obama signed the proclamation Wednesday preserving the area in southeastern Utah. Bear's Ears is culturally and spiritually significant to a number of tribes. Begay says co-management was a priority among the Navajo, Hopi, Ute, Ute Mountain Ute, and Zuni tribes. The proclamation includes the creation of a tribal commission.
Through those commissioners, they'll be our voice, and they'll work directly with the Secretary of Interior to ensure that equal access is there, that the area is being protected, our people are not being denied access for ceremonial purposes.
Begay says work will also include protection from resource development and looting. A First Nations community which has a marry-out, stay-out policy is again facing criticism, as Dan Karpinchuk reports.
The so-called marry-out, stay-out law says anyone who marries a non-native must leave. Some people who are biracial are also excluded from membership in the band. The decades-old code goes even further. It says anyone who allows a non-Aboriginal spouse to live in Ganawage forfeits their right to live, own property, and vote in the reserve. And it extends into the afterlife, since those who violate the code cannot be buried on Mohawk land. Brenda Deerhouse Fragnito has been fighting the rule for decades, and when she married a non-native, she was forced out of the community.
Instead of being inclusive, they decided to throw away both men and women who have married out, which is wrong. It's a discrimination. It's racism.
Many say the effects have created unbearable pressure on their families. They say the homes they've known their entire lives are gone, and old friends now want them out. The Mohawk Council says the code is there to protect the culture and doesn't believe these legal challenges can force it to change. Joe Delarond is with the council.
In Ganawage, we're a little postage stamp, and we're surrounded by the Quebecois, we're surrounded by the Canadian culture, the Americans are right around the corner, we're bombarded with everything, and it's tough to keep your identity.
In the end, the Canadian Human Rights Commission upheld the complaint by the five residents and asked the Canadian Human Rights Tribunal to launch an inquiry into the issue. For National Native News, I'm Dan Karpinchuk.
The Cheyenne River Youth Project has announced the creation of a Lakota Youth Art Institute on the Cheyenne River Sioux Reservation in South Dakota. Jim Kent has more.
As it grows, the Waniatu Wuwapi, or Winter Count Lakota Youth Art Institute, will incorporate fine art, graffiti, street art, and traditional Lakota arts. The long-term vision includes music and movement, commercial arts, full internships, and a peer mentor program. Julie Garrow is executive director of the Cheyenne River Youth Project.
One of the things that we've done throughout our history at Cheyenne River Youth Project is we've offered arts and crafts. But I think with the Art Institute, what we're looking to do is offer them much more sophisticated, a broad variety of mediums.
Because art is considered therapeutic, says Garrow, the first goal was to get kids to create through art. The Art Institute will take that mindset one step further.
We can start to help kids imagine, like, I could have a career in art. I could be an art teacher. I could go to school to be an artist. I could make a living from art. I think we're trying to just open their minds.
At the same time, Garrow plans to offer instruction in traditional activities related to Lakota art, such as quill work and buffalo hide tanning. From having Native American artists as guest instructors, to exploring art therapy as a healing tool, to understanding the vital role art plays in the Lakota culture on a daily basis, Garrow can one day see the Waniatu Wuwapi Lakota Youth Art Institute as a Northern Plains answer to the Institute of American Indian Arts. I'm Jim Kent.
And I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
National Native News is produced at the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico by Kawanak Broadcast Corporation, with offices in Anchorage, Alaska. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Annenberg Foundation, and the Ford Foundation.
Support by Ramona Farms, offering wholesome and delicious foods from our heirloom crops as our contribution to a better diet for the benefit of all people. We are honored to share our centuries-old farming and culinary traditions online at ramonafarms.com. Support by the Albuquerque Hispano Chamber of Commerce's Convention and Tourism Department, providing complete convention and visitor planning services to Native American conventions in Albuquerque. Information on convention and tourism services at siabq.org.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Service.
Thank you for joining us. You're listening to Juno Afternoon. As we discussed, it is Thursday, December 29th, 2016. The last Thursday of this year. Right now, the weather is 36 degrees and overcast. This afternoon, we're supposed to get some scattered showers, and it's going to be mostly cloudy with a high near 38. Tonight, scattered rain and snow showers between midnight and 3 a.m., and then a chance of rain after that. And then tomorrow, snow before 9 a.m., then rain and snow between 9 a.m. and 3, then rain, and then rain maybe heavy at times Friday and Friday night. Well, thank you for joining us the last Thursday of this year. Jeff Brown is the producer and engineer of the show. He's at the board. I'm Joan Pardis, your Thursday host. And our first guest today is Odin Brody. Odin is a board member of the Juno Nordic Ski Club and a Juno Nordic Ski Team coach. Welcome to the show.
Yes, thank you, Joan.
Yeah.
Good to be here.
So let's talk about the Juno Nordic Ski Club. What does it do?
Juno Nordic Ski Club has about 300 members, and primarily we groom the trails in town here at the campground, the Mendenhall Campground and Montana Creek, and then when there's enough snow in other places as well. But those are our two areas that we concentrate on for grooming. And then we, of course, you have Eagle Crest grooming their trails and the state parks grooming the trails at Eagle Beach. And so collectively, we have a good growing set of groomed trails in town.
That sounds great. 300 members. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
So before we go any further, how is Montana Creek and the Mendenhall Campground looking these days?
They are looking great. Everything that can be set in town is set. And so it's including trails in all those places. And this is as good as we've seen it in a couple of years now. And Montana Creek has, and the campground have both classic tracks and they're groomed for skating. So it's pretty good right now.
That sounds great. And then do you guys have a website that keeps people up to date as far as what when it's been groomed and what it's looking like?
The Juno Nordic Ski Club website is a good site for getting trail reports and updates on grooming, as well as some links to weather for those sites and good trail updates. And that's JNSKI, JNSKI.org. And there's also a tab there for events and other races and events as well, like we'll talk about today.
Yeah, let's talk about that. So the Juno Nordic Ski Club, one of its functions is to maintain the trails. And then do you partner with organizations to do races as well?
The Juno Nordic Ski Team is a component that we partner – there are two programs that are under the 4-H umbrella, and that's the Juno Nordic Ski Team, which consists of middle school and high school kids, about 28 skiers this year. And there's also a Sunday 4-H recreational ski program that's going. And then the Juno Nordic Ski Team has organized a race series, and we've partnered with them to have volunteers for the races and help put the races on. And those I can talk some more about those, but a race series is the primary component of what we have going on now with the Juno Nordic Ski Team.
And they're open, right? Like, it's not just for that ski team. It's open for anybody to register on those races, correct?
Right. The ski club and the ski team have set a community race series for this winter, and the first one is coming up this weekend on the New Year's Eve, the Resolution Day race, and that'll be up at Eagle Crest at 11 a.m. And there are roughly every other Saturday for the rest of the winter, we'll be having a race.
That sounds great. So let's talk about this one on Saturday. So it's New Year's Eve resolution race. It's 11 o'clock up at Eagle Crest. It's open. People could register. And what is the race track like?
Yeah, well, the ski team skiers will be participating. This is a good chance for them to – we don't have any other youth or high school ski teams in Southeast or in Juneau, so these races are a good way for these kids. They train 4 days a week, and a couple of weeks ago, they were up, six of them were up in Anchorage for a race to get that exposure into – and to race. And so part of this Saturday's and the other races is that the ski team kids are going to race, and then members of the community should join in too. This Saturday we have it'll be 5 kilometer loop, which you can do once or twice, so a 5K or a 10K. And since it's a resolution race, resolve to bring a friend and maybe a young one for the kids 12 and under race. Will have a shorter loop of about 1 kilometer. And so those are open to interested skiers and members of the public.
Cool. And people want to find out more. Where can they go?
There is a races and events link on the JN Ski website.
Great.
And there's other contact information there as well.
Sounds good. And so that's open to the public. Everybody could join in and register and race.
Yes, the race starts at 11, so come a little early to register. There's no registration fee, but if people want to donate to the Juneau Nordic Ski Team, they're welcome to. And just to know that there are Eagle Crest trail passes available at the lodge. And we are encouraging people on Saturday to park at what's called the Nordics parking lot down below. It's about a quarter of a mile before you get to the Eagle Crest parking lot on your left. There's a parking lot that's now plowed out that should accommodate the cars that'll participate. You can also ski from the lodge as well if you have to park up there.
Yeah, and I'm looking at the weather right here, and it says partly sunny for a Saturday. Great day for a race.
Yeah, the conditions look pretty good.
That sounds good. All right, so that's what happened this Saturday, and then you said about every other Saturday there's a race. So let's look into January 2017 and see what the first race of the new year will be.
Okay, well, the Have a Dream ski on Martin Luther King Day is January 16th. Which is a Monday. All the other races are on Saturday, but this one is scheduled for Monday, January 16th. And the location is to be announced. And for last year, the conditions kind of dictated the race. This year, I think things are a little more, the weather will be a little more cooperative. So we'll know a little further in advance on race locations. Another January date is the legislature loop race. The legislature will be back in session, and there are a number of people from up north, especially, that come down during the session, and you see a lot more people using the trails and taking advantage of the groom trail. So the legislature loop race on January 28th, and then going into February, a sweetheart relay on February 11th. So grab your sweetie and partner up for a relay race, and that's always a lot of fun. And it's actually, that one's usually pretty well attended because the daylight days are getting longer in February. Pradervich Power Push on Saturday, February 25th. And then another very fun one. This one will be out at Eagle Beach for sure, March 11th. It's called the Border to Border Finland-style race. Finland has a Border to Border race that goes from Norway to Russia. That's a lot longer, but we set up a course for that out at Eagle Beach on March 11th.
And you're going from where to where?
From where to where? From where you start to where, back right. To where you started again. We pretty much run it around all the Eagle Beach is great because as winter goes on, they start grooming all these little side loops. And
it is. It's border to border of the Eagle Beach State Park.
Border to border of the Eagle Beach State
Nobody's
Park.
Going up to BC or anything.
Right.
That sounds great. So, Odin, how long have you been on the board at the Juneau Nordic Ski Club?
I've been on the board about 3 years now.
And you're a coach?
Yes, one of the head coaches. There are the coaches for the Juneau Nordic Ski Team are Frankie Pilafont, myself, Odin Brody, Abby Lowell, Tristan Knutson Lombard, and Scott and Betsy Fisher, and then additional coaches as well. We have a great round out of coaches this year.
That sounds great. So for these races, okay, when people hear race, they kind of think competitive, competent. Mm-hmm. For these races, do you have to be really proficient at cross-country skiing?
You have to be have skied a few times this year, I would say, and be in a little bit of ski shape, but that's really all it takes. Just because and to go, heck, if you wanted to just do the 1 kilometer race, even if you were older than 12, that would be fine. But it's, 1 kilometer is not that far, and 5 kilometers is. So you know, it's 3 miles. So if you can slowly ski for 3 miles, it's kind of a little more work than walking. But no, I'd say it's a great way to improve your skills.
Well, let's talk about the campground. So you did to get a sense of distance. So you said 5 kilometers is a little more than 3 miles. So the campground, if you skied the Nordic Groom Trails on the campground, how long is just one loop of all the loops?
The Clover Loop, Clover Leap.
Is that what it's called?
Clover Leap? Sort of shape of the trails there at the campground totals about 3 kilometers.
Oh.
So if you do that 3 times, you're approaching 10 kilometers,
which is
a respectable distance.
If you do it 3 times.
Yeah.
And then Montana Creek is how many?
Montana Creek is a little over, it's about 3.2 kilometers from the parking lot to where you turn around at the end of the groomed trail.
So it's 6.4.
Correct, round trip. And then a lot of people just ski back down to the bridge, and that's about, from the bridge to the end is about 2.5 kilometers.
Okay.
Yeah.
Both of them beautiful trails, very different.
Yeah.
And then let's talk a little bit about the lake. We haven't talked about the lake because right now it's not super cold.
Mm-hmm.
But the lake, when Juneau Nordic Ski Club sets the lake when the conditions are perfect, correct?
Correct. I mean,
and how long is that loop?
Right now it's not set. We're waiting for the super cold temperatures.
And no one is encouraging anyone to go on the lake. Let's be clear.
The lake is also about a 3 kilometer loop.
Really? So
yeah, it's
equal distance to the campground.
It's a similar distance to the campground.
Interesting.
So you double your distance and the lake is nice and flat.
Yeah. It seems like it would be longer than the campground for some reason.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm just sort of guesstimating on that.
Okay. That's okay. And then before I let you go, so if you're just joining us and we're chatting with Jeff Brown's at the board, he's a producer and engineer. I'm Joan Partis, Odin Brody, board member and coach of the Juneau Nordic Ski Club and team is here with us in the studio. So, Odin, how long have you been cross-country skiing?
Well, let's see.
a rough number.
Let's say rough number, close to a half a century.
Okay.
Yeah.
And were you a downhill skier first?
Yep.
And
yep.
What made you even explore cross country?
Which I took up in ninth grade, cross country, and
mm-hmm.
then I skied competitively in high school.
Cross country, downhill.
Mm-hmm. Cross country. I got interested in it as a workout, and then as a fun ski team activity, and that's with a lot of the Juneau Nordic ski team kids. A lot of them are runners on the running team, and.
And Tristan is a coach.
Tristan is a coach there as well. And they,
mm-hmm.
the camaraderie is just as important as the ski skills.
Okay. All right. So if people want to find out anything about the Juneau Nordic Ski Club, or let's say they take advantage of the fabulous set tracks and they want to become a member, or they want to find out about the races or support the team, one more time about the URL.
That's the JNSKI.org website. And it's a great website with lots of information.
And that's
all on there.
Great. Is there anything you want to add?
I forgot one word in this weekend's event on Saturday 11 at Eagle Crest. It's the Resolution Classic race. And part of the classic is that we decided that you can skate ski or classic ski.
Well, Let's talk about the difference.
Yeah.
Okay? Let's somebody's listening and they don't know the difference. Describe what is the difference between skate skiing and classic.
Well, the traditional stride skiing, where your arms are working independently and sort of an extended version of walking with a glide, that's classic skiing that everybody's used to. And skate skiing is called skate skiing because it's a similar motion as ice skating, and it's the skating, you're propelled by a sort of a V motion of your skis, and then also you're double pulling, not so much independent arms, you're double pulling with your arms. So it's a big part of it is the double pulling and the upper body. So it's really a different sport in a lot of ways. It's more about upper body and like skating with the upper body component. So
So the classic is those two set tracks. If you're in tracks, you're just in those two tracks that are on the side of a set trail. And then the skate is in the middle section. It is groomed, but it's groomed in a different way. It's not like a set track.
It's rolled and packed for skating. And then the track that is set is definitely designed for classic skis. And when you're skate skiing, you do everything you can to not disturb the classic track or walk on the classic track. A lot of our trails are joint walking, and dog walking is a popular activity on the trails, but it's really important if people can not walk on that groomed set track. That we know and love all of our groomers that really are our greatest volunteers at the ski club, or are our team of groomers, and they do a really nice job. And so anyway, just sort of respecting that double.
Right. So if you're walking on the trail, you're really walking on the skate ski part.
Skate ski or off to the side.
Right. Even better. Even better. Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Perfect.
And then especially the dog walkers, if they could stay off that the double track.
That classic track. And so this Saturday, if you come to the race with your old wooden skis or bamboo poles or maybe knickers and knee socks, leather boots, old style classic ski gear, you'll get some time points.
Ooh.
For the race. So points will be given for classic ski gear, and I already know a couple people who are going to show up with their wood skis and bamboo poles. So
as you're saying that, I could see people like taking their
skis
off their
fireplace. Yeah, you got some of those in your garage.
the classic like lodge with the two old skis.
There's still
they are, breaking them down, putting them back together.
Yeah.
And off you go, and you get some time points.
Yeah.
Which you probably need with the old gear.
Yeah, the new gear is a little faster, but
a little slicker, but, you know, retro is in.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they say. All right. Well, Odin, thank you so much for dropping by today.
Thank you very much.
And telling us about the Junior Nordic Ski Club, what they do, and then also about the races starting this Saturday, New Year's Eve Resolution Race. Bring your old classic, let's not call it old, bring your classic skis, leather boots, and I like
or
the
your
knicker.
New gear, but
you're right, little wolf
you
pants,
the old
and
stuff.
So on and so forth. Regardless, just
clothing,
come on out.
Yeah, you get points for the clothing.
There you go. Come on out. Registration's open to the whole community, and it's free, but donations are certainly accepted. Great. Thanks
Great.
For all you do.
Yeah, thank you.
We're going to take a short break, and we'll be right back.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Thursday. It's the 29th of December, 2016. 1890, on this day, federal troops killed almost 300 Lakota men, women, and children in the massacre at Wounded Knee. One of the survivors was Black Elk, the medicine man, who was 27 years old at the time. He wrote, "I can see that something else died there in the bloody mud and was buried in the blizzard. A people's dream died there. It was a beautiful dream, and I, to whom so great a vision was given in my youth, you see me now, a pitiful old man who has done nothing, for the nation's hoop is broken and scattered. There is no center any longer, and the sacred tree is dead." It was on this day in 1916, James Joyce published his first novel, A Portrait of the Artist as a Young Man, in which the hero, Stephen Dedalus, comes home from boarding school, and he gets to sit at the adult table for the Christmas dinner. It was on this evening in 1940, World War II, German Air Force began firebombing the city of London with such intensity that nearly one-third of London was destroyed in just a few hours, 19 churches, 31 guild halls, and all of Paternoster Row, the publishing center of London at the time. Nearly 5 million books were destroyed. It was the 114th straight night of what was known as the Blitz. A systematic attack on London by Germany began in September 1940, and on that night in 1940, as on other nights, thousands of Londoners slept in the underground tube stations during the bombings. There were German observers on the French coast, nearly 100 miles away. They could see the night sky light up. Both banks of the Thames were on fire, fire stretching south from Islington to the edge of the St. Paul's Cathedral churchyard. Winston Churchill ordered all available men to fight the fires outside the cathedral, trying to save it. And a photographer named Herbert Mason, on top of the offices of the Daily Mail newspaper on Fleet Street, took a picture of the cathedral with smoke and fire rising all around it, a photograph which became a symbol of Britain's resistance. And the cathedral stood, and in 1944, the bells of St. Paul's Cathedral rang out to celebrate the liberation of Paris. Here's a poem by W.S. Merwin, The New Song. For some time, I thought there was time, and that there would always be time for what I had a mind to do and what I could imagine going back to and finding it as I had found it the first time. But by this time, I do not know what I thought when I thought back then. There is no time, yet it grows less. There is the sound of rain at night, arriving unknown in the leaves, once without, before, or after. Then I hear the thrush waking at daybreak, singing the new song. The poem by W.S. Merwin, The New Song, from his collected poems 1996 to 2011, published by the Library of America, and used by permission here on the Writer's Almanac, supported by the Poetry Foundation, publisher of Poetry Magazine, committed to discovering great poets and printing their verse. Back issues and subscriptions available at poetrymagazine.org. And by Lumosity, brain training developed by scientists and game designers who turn cognitive research tasks into challenging games. Learn more at lumosity.com. Be well, do good work, and keep in touch.
Tune in to KRNN on Saturday at 2 p.m. for a medley of concert highlights from 2016. The Carole King Tribute, Playboy Spaceman, Harm, The Hannah Yoder Band, Terry Tibbett and Friends, Harrison B., Foghorn, Nicole Church, Whiskey Class, and more. That's an hour of 2016 public media concert highlights. Saturday, 2 p.m. on KRNN 102.7 and KRNN.org.
Wow, Scott Burden talking about the highlights. That's exactly what I want to talk about. You're listening to Juno Afternoon. Jeff Brown is the producer and engineer. I'm Joan Pardis, your Thursday host. And we are going to give you some highlights of what happened on the Juno art scene in 2016. First up is Capitol Steps that played here in Juno last January. And then we're going to go right to the high school band during the Family Community Day in May, the Juno Jazz and Classics. So listen up.
I dream of a watch I have seen. It seems Apple made it so lean. So now I can wear on a wristband
a gigantic screen. I'll do everything that I need at 2 times the previous speed. I'll check Wikipedia entries in type that's so small I can't read. To keep both my eyes pinned on my 1-inch new streaming from Netflix of Gone with the Wind. And I know to this watch I'll be true, 'cause I know in the end it consumes everything that I do. Now it's my only friend. And the world is far better, except there's one thing I hope I don't mind. I think Apple left off one feature. This watch cannot tell me.
Thank you.
You're listening to Juno Afternoon on KTOO, live coming at you from Alaska's capital city. Jeff Brown is the producer and engineer of the show. I'm Joan Pardis, your Thursday host, and in the studio with us is the lovely Nancy DeCherney, the Juno Arts and Humanities Council Executive Director, to tell us what to do for New Year's Eve weekend. What
sure
should we do?
You don't need any hints on that sort of thing, but there is a variety of things that you could be doing. Let's see if we got something going on this evening. This is your last little bit of time to see it, that wonderful life over at Perseverance. Yes, and I recommend it if you haven't been to see it. It's a wonderful little performance. And
no pun intended.
Yes. James does a wonderful job. It's lighthearted and all that stuff that you need. So you could do that tonight if you need a little something. There's Tai Chi for Seniors tomorrow and the organ concert and The Wonderful Life, This Wonderful Life, on Saturday evening, which is the big night. You know,
the last night of 2016.
Yeah, there's lots of things to do. Let's see. You can start off the Year of Kindness kickoff is at the Sandy Beach at from 1 to 3. JPD is, I think a lot of us have felt like 2016 might have been a little rough around the edges, and trying to start the 2017 off with a kinder, softer.
And this is hosted by the Juno Police Department?
It is.
From 1 to 3, like
yeah, and it says bring a dish to share, socks for the homeless. And if you want, you can do a plunge into the cold water for a really cleansing experience. I did not check the tide, so I don't know whether you have to run all the way out there to get to it, or if the tide will come to you. But that's an option.
Interesting. That's lovely. Yeah. Thank you, Juno Police Department.
Yeah, and, you know, it actually happens again on Sunday out at Ock Rec.
Polar plunge.
Yes, and they're also doing, at the same time, Year of Kindness kickoff. There will be the same sort of deal just out there. So you can do it twice if you feel you really need cleansing.
Or if you just can't quite do it the first day, maybe you can
get it
out the second day.
Okay, so let's see. There is a New Year's Eve dinner at the Twisted Fish. It's a heavenly six-course dinner, it says. Tickets are $75 a person, and they're available at the Twisted Fish Company store online. There'll be a special wine menu and all sorts of things.
Oh, that sounds
nice. It sounds lovely. There's a cocktail hour at 6, first course at 7. You can go online and see the menu items. It looks very exotic and exciting, so wagyu beef and all sorts of stuff. So that's an option. There is a New Year's Eve barn dance up at St. Anne's Parish Hall. It's the Taku Gales playing French, Canadian, and Celtic tunes. Tom Paul will be teaching and calling contra and square dances. No experience necessary. No partners are necessary. It's a small fee, so that's a thing too.
The perennial. That's one of the iconic
Every year this happens. Swing in the New Year, also becoming a tradition. It's the Juno Jazz and Classics presents the Swing in the New Year. They'll have the Juno Big Band and the Last Chance Band playing, and there will be a dance lesson at 8, and then the dance begins at 9, and there's champagne and a toast at midnight.
At the bewitching hour.
Yeah, the bewitching hour, and that's over at the Jack.
Nobody like no old man and little diaper kid.
You know, that's what we should have. Little diaper chase or something. I don't know. Okay.
We digress. Come back.
All right, let's go. Let's come back into the thing. So at 9 p.m., there is the New Year's Eve block party at Merchant's Wharf, also becoming a tradition. A building-wide, multiple bars in the hangar, the ballroom, the hallway, and hopefully Alaska Fish and Chips Company. Doors open at 9, $10 admission. Music from Mystery Skulls Shasta with MC S.A. Jones. All sorts of Snowblood, DJ Quince, $10 at the door. Anyone who dines at the hangar gets a free admission. The hangar is rolling out the red carpet for this. So lots of dancing, hats, beads, kazoos, and a huge balloon drop at midnight. I don't know if that means that you should watch out because a large balloon will fall on you.
Or I think it's more of the classic New Year. Many little balloons coming down. Or maybe many big ones.
Okay. So there's lots of fun to be had on New Year's Eve. And So come out and enjoy and get to...
Of course, drive safely.
Drive safely, and I will say that I know that CHAR offers free cab drives, so if you feel as though you're needing a little help home, don't drive. Take advantage of that. So everybody's ready for the New Year's. So let's talk about New Year's. There it is. There's the polar bear dip at 1 o'clock. You can just start off, as we mentioned, with a year of kindness and some chilliness. So that sounds fun. On Monday, I think it's New Year's Day, and we should all just relax and have, you really should have Hopping John on New Year's Day before noon. And if you need a recipe, you can call me and I'll give it to you.
What is Hopping John?
It's black-eyed peas.
That's what I thought.
Yes, with ham hocks. This is a tradition, and it comes from the South.
And it's a good
luck. Let me just tell you that I'm not from the South. I'm from up north here. But there's something about Hopping John on New Year's that tastes delicious and nutritious, and just it's the perfect thing after a long night of
festivities.
So
responsible festivities.
Yeah. So traditionally you eat the Hoppin' John before noon on New Year's Day, and like
which is
said,
Sunday, and then Monday is New Year's.
Oh yeah,
Day,
so we missed that.
It's the holiday.
So
right.
Oh gosh. So, yeah, I would have screwed up. But anyway, if you need a Hoppin' John recipe, give me a call.
What would happen if you did Hoppin' John on Monday and you missed Sunday?
Because you'll usually have some left over.
You might have missed the whole mojo thing.
Let's see. It says there's a friendship bracelet creation thing happening at the Makerspace on Monday from 6:30 to 7:30. Bring a friend and make fun friendship bracelets out of yarn. No experience necessary. So if you haven't been to the Makerspace, it's sort of in the Costco area, and it's full of all these fun power tools that you want to use and can't afford but would like to do things with. So you can go there. Let's see. There is it's kind of slow to begin the dates. We are having the Arts Council, the Jack is open for most of next week, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, for people who are wearable art artists and want or have stuff that you think a wearable art artist would like to use. Just come and share your stuff, and if you need a big space to roll out fabric and cut it, or just use it as a workspace for wearable art, because wearable art is coming up. And let me just mention that we're down to 230 seats for the Saturday show, so if you were thinking about that, you might want to quickly, like a bunny, give us a call. You need to be an active member of the Arts Council and get your wearable art seats. Also, David Sedaris, which is not coming until May. And this is
it's
174 seats. We're talking nosebleeds and single seats. So
I interrupted you. So David Sedaris, KTOO, is bringing David Sedaris. And if you're not familiar with the name, go ahead, quick, go on your computer and search it. And he's coming in May to Juneau. He's going up to Anchorage first, stopping here in Juneau. And
lots of very funny books.
Right.
A
and
very
he's
funny
a wonderful man. Performer. And he's here coming to the Juneau Douglas High School. Thank you, KTOO.
And, like I said, there's only 174 seats left. So by May 14th, there's not going to be any. So probably by the end of the show, there aren't going to be any. So show your support for K2 and dial now.
Exactly.
The tickets are available at Hearthside Books online and at the Juneau Arts and Humanities Guild.
Let's roll back to the Wearable Art Show, which is in February. How many artists?
We just figured that out today. We are 34 artists. This is a big number.
So let's talk about wearable art. So we're assuming that all of our listeners know what the wearable art show is.
Well, they may not, because it seems very, it is something that's been going on here for 14 or 15 years, and it has been going on in Ketchikan for 30 years, and it originated in Wellington, not in Wellington, but it is now housed in Wellington, New Zealand, which is the World of Wearable. If you have an Instagram account, you should look up the World of Wearable Instagram account, because it's very exciting. But anyway, wearable art is an opportunity for community members, people, in, just like you and I.
Noble John and James.
Just get, if you haven't, you create something that you can wear on a runway show to music. And can be made out of, there's a person in Ketchikan that always makes things out of Franzia boxes. Or, you know, people make things out of, Jeff Brown here has been known to make things out of balloons, for example.
Correct.
And you, so it's just your
Wood is another medium, all
David,
different types of.
Yes, Dave Walker is well known from here. As a matter of fact, he has several pieces that are in the permanent display in the New Zealand one, because he has one. His stuff was on display at the EMP Museum recently as part of their show. He makes his out of veneer. They're just fabulous.
Joni Waller made her salmon out of CDs.
Out of CDs. So there's, yeah, there's, anyway, it's,
award-winning.
I remember that the first time my husband encountered it, like I said, they'd been doing it in Ketchikan for a while, and he wasn't interested in seeing the show, and he had this friend who, he got weathered in down there on a sales trip, and his friend said, "You're coming to the show." And he was completely blown away by what fun it is. And it is just fun.
And there's a Saturday night show and there's a Sunday show.
We do our Sunday afternoon as well as the Saturday evening. And they have their different charms, of course. Saturday is a little bit wilder than Sunday, but I think the Sunday show is the best show.
And then also, it's very kid-friendly. There's kids who are in the show.
Yes, there are often children in the show. It is a... I would say PG-13. Let's go there.
I agree. I would agree.
Yes, but it's I think it's a lot of fun. And it's the primary fundraiser for the Arts Council. The money that we raise from that, the Saturday show helps support the building and keep the Jack open and available for people. And the Sunday show proceeds go to the scholarship and individual artist grants that we give out. So
who's directing it this year?
This year is Margot Jungberg. She, if you went to see the Vibrator play, she was in that play. She's from the Red Onion. She's one of the ladies from Skagway in the Red Onion. And the hosts this year are Allison Holtkamp and Frank Tass. The designer is Akiko Roach. She does the Perseverance play a lot. And like I said, we've got several repeat artists, but a whole bunch of new people. It's just going to be wildly fun. So
that sounds great. And as of now, the tickets are on sale, but they're only for Juno members. And then general sales starts
on January 15th. Yeah, so we have plenty of seats on Sunday. But like I said, only 230 seats for the Saturday show. So if it's something you're interested in, by all means, hustle on in.
That sounds great. And what else is in the pipeline for 2017 coming from the Arts Council?
Well, you know, we have, following this, we will have, after, we will have the gospel choir. Our two gospel guys come back.
That's great.
They will be at the end of February. We're going to start with, they'll do the gospel workshops and then have our Motown thing. But in a conjunction with the celebrations that they always do on Sunday, we are collaborating with the Juno Black Awareness folks. They often do a dinner to raise funds for their scholarship program, and we're going to collaborate with them. So we have our show at 2 and at 5:30, and in between they're going to have what's called Dinner on the Ground, a picnic at Thunder Mountain High School as a fundraising thing. So you can come to the show and then have dinner, or have dinner and then go to the show. And last time I went to one of their events, I will just tell you that the fried chicken and the grits was amazing. And also their sweet potato pie is unbelievable. So that's coming up at the end of February, first part of March. We have, oh gosh, you're going to expect me to remember anything?
Wait 1 second. I still have a question for Motown. So I went to the concert. My husband was in the choir last year, and I might actually be in the choir this year.
Yes, everyone should be in the choir.
Yeah, because you know, there's lots of voices, so no one will hear mine, which is good. Maybe mine will even improve, which
sing.
Would be great. But didn't we have a Motown queen?
We did. We
so
did.
There was a there was a sing-off for the Motown king and queen, and wasn't Shona.
Yes, Shona became, she's the reigning Motown I guess royalty
queen.
For the moment.
And
yes.
So is she going to be passing off her crown this
she
year?
She will be. We are going to be working on that. And by the way, if you are a person who feels that you should be the reigning Motown royalty, give me a call and we'll get you lined up to be part of the competition, because we'll be doing that again. That's absolutely for sure.
Good.
Some amazing singers in this town.
I
don't
agree.
Know how we are so fortunate. So,
we've got February covered. We've got Wearable Arts and the Gospel Choir.
And then we're bringing a Hawaiian swing band, dance band. Yeah, the sort of 40s type swing music with a Hawaiian twist to it.
Mm.
And then we follow it with the Gitton Dancers. That's David Boxley's group from Metlakatla and South. He actually lives in Seattle now, I think. But they were the lead dance group for Sea Alaska Celebration this last time.
Right.
And he, you know, usually when they come, you just only get to see them for like 15 minutes. So we're going to have them do a whole performance. They'll be the Yisku'u dancers are opening for them, and that this is in April. So I'm really looking forward to this. And tonight, actually, my concert committee is sitting down to decide what we're going to see in 2018-19.
Whoa, there we go. So before I let you go, so end of year, this is the very last Thursday in 2016.
Isn't it amazing?
I know. So some people are sitting and thinking about year-end contributions. They want to contribute and make the world a better place and also maybe get a tax benefit or two. So what does membership at the Juno Arts and Humanities Council do besides just besides keeping the building open, our amazing, vibrant art community fueling along?
It is, of course, a deduction, so you can get that. Well, we do the scholarships. We do a whole bunch of education programs in the schools to make sure that children are getting arts education, teachers are learning how to teach art, artists are learning how to teach teachers. There's a whole lot of education work that we do. We do the concert series that we present also.
And as members, you get 10%.
Yeah, you get a little discount. You get discounts off in the lobby. We run the gallery shows, so do the First Friday type thing, help artists that way. So there's a lot
and
of
And an
things.
Artist in schools, isn't there?
The artists in the so the education programs, like I said, are probably one of the biggest things that we do that are kind of fly under the radar. But we have the Artists in the Schools program, the Poetry Out Loud program, the Any Given Child program, Partners in Education program. I could go on and on. We also do...
So in other words, the Arts Council has their tentacles in all the different schools.
We like to be involved. I mean,
they're very artistic.
Teaching kids. We do after-school programs over at Geneva Woods and Cedar Park for the kids in art and homework. So there's a lot of stuff. But one of our biggest projects right now is, I mean, we've been running the Juno Arts and Culture Center for coming up on 10 years, just about 9 years. It's been very successful, and so now we're building another one, a big building. And that's kind of our big focus right now, as you know. And that is something that could be a donation.
So people are, I have a couple of questions about the Juno Arts and Humanities Council membership. So that is year to date. So if you decide now, then
it's
then,
good till next December.
Exactly.
And so when it becomes time for you to get your wearable art tickets next year, you'll be in line for the first run.
Or you could just sign up right now and get your wearable
for
art
now
tickets.
And still be good.
So let's talk about the building. I'm kind of fascinated with this idea. So when in your wildest dreams do you think ground will be broken and the building might be open?
Wildest dreams is that we'll start in 2018 summer and be done by 2019.
And we're talking, where is it going to be?
We'll see where the jack is. We'll take the current plan is that building will have to be taken down. There was thoughts of trying to add on to it and retrofit it and all that sort of stuff. And then we just sort of realized that it wouldn't really be possible to effectively retrofit that old building as sturdy and reliable as it has been all these years. So I don't think there'll be a lot of people that'll be dismayed that it's going to go away, but it will be a moment that we should pause and reflect, I think, when it goes. But anyway, that's where we're going to put it. Should have a 300-seat proscenium-style theater with a little balcony in it. And it'll have what we're calling an event studio, which is kind of a black box, something like the second stage over at Perseverance for sort of small, odd types of things, a conference room, office suites, a cafe, a bigger gallery than we currently have, a lobby shop, a promenade sort of thing that goes over and connects to Centennial Hall's lawn. So when we have things like Beer Fest and Folk Festival and stuff that's in public market, it's easy to get back and forth from Centennial Hall to the Jack.
And will it have a larger footprint than the current building?
Just slightly.
Mm-hmm. Reconfigured.
It'll be reconfigured. Probably focus on this street, Whittier Street, and, like I said, connect more directly with Centennial Hall. As you know, if you've ever tried to get from Centennial Hall to the Jack during public market or any other sort of time, I mean, that it's hard. You have to go outside and all that sort of stuff and go through the parking lot. Cars are all parked at a cattywampus to how you want to walk and stuff. So,
and it's dark and it's icy.
I think it'll just make it easier, make Centennial Hall more effective as well as our building more effective.
So if you close your eyes and you dream about it right now, so we have the beautiful new APK building, also known as the Slam.
Beautiful.
And then we're going to have this beautiful art. I've seen pictures. It looks really
good. You can go online. There's a new Jack. .org website. So
that sounds great.
Yeah, you can check it out.
So you could, if you're interested and you're in the mood of ho, 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 you're not quite done in the giving mood, by all means.
Sharing is how this community does things best, I think.
I agree. And speaking of which, thank you for sharing your talents
with
all
of us. You.
Coming over every Thursday and also for all that you do across the street.
Thank you for being a part of it. And remember to bring socks when you do the plunge at Sandy Beach.
Not
or
necessarily
Aqua.
For yourself, to give to the
JPD.
Give to the people in need.
Speaking of sharing.
Exactly. All right. Well, thank you.
Happy New Year, all.
Happy New Year. And thank you to our listeners for joining us here on this last Thursday of 2016. Jeff Brown is the producer and engineer of Juno Afternoon. I am Joan Pardis, your Thursday host. And the weather, it is currently still 36 degrees. Tonight, it's supposed to be scattered rain and snow showers. Tomorrow, snow and rain again. Rain could be heavy at times, high near 37. And then tomorrow night, rain and snow. And then Saturday, partly sunny with a high near 31. If it's raining down here, it might be snowing at Eagle Crest, which would be great. Happy New Year, everyone.
Gonna shine invincible, no longer be divisible. Born through the struggle, keep on moving through all this hustle. Head up, head down through all of the bustle. New York City, wanna flex your muscle. Look so down, look so puzzled. Huddle around your fire, do all the rubble. Bounds to stumble and fall, but my strength comes not from man at all. Bounds to stumble and fall, but my strength comes not from man at all.
That was Mata Yahu, who is here this past year, courtesy of KTOO. Thanks for listening.
Against our large charge until tomorrow, wipe away your tears and your sorrow. Sunrise in the sky, like an arrow, no need to worry, no need to cry. Light up your mind, no longer be blind. Him who searches will find, leave your problems behind. He will shine like a fire in the sky. What's the reason we're alive? Reason we're alive.
Bounds to stumble and fall, but my strength comes not from man at all. Bounds to stumble and fall, but my strength comes not from man at all. You know.